Be turning to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in the Old Testament. The last three Wednesdays of this quarter, I would like to cover various scriptures in the book of Psalms. If someone were to ask you, what is the book of Psalms all about? What would your answer be, your short answer in general? What would you say the book of Psalms is all about? It's about many things, really, but overall, what would you say? Praise. That's good. The psalmists, the various psalmists are definitely praising God.
Crying out for help.
Crying out for help. Yes, definitely. I still didn't hear.
The need for God.
The need for God. That's a good one. We see that, yes. Just dependence. Dependence on God. And don't we see a lot of human emotion? I mean, I think really, throughout the Psalms, you see a lot of emotion, and you see, like she said, you see the wisdom of God teaching us just how much we do need Him. In the 39th Psalm, in verse 4, the King James says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Do we ever look at ourselves as frail? I mean, we can be physically frail, but, you know, that's not what this is talking about. I mean, do we really recognize that we really are frail in this world? I think the idea when David wrote that particular one in Psalm 39 is that ultimately all human beings, if we're aware of how frail we are, it will motivate us to depend on God more, as we should. And then we can understand how close we are to death. As Brother Edgar mentioned in his prayer on our behalf tonight. And as he mentioned, I'm sure Sister Jane is struggling somewhat with it, as we all are. We're used to seeing Jack when we come in the foyer. But when we understand, as Brother Gravenberg pointed out, the scripture about we are a vapor or a mist, as this translation says, we're just here for a little while. When we understand that, then we can be motivated to depend more on God. And you know, when we realize just really how close death is, even as a young person, I don't think I thought too much about that when I was really young, but when we understand just how near death really is to any of us. When we come to that realization, then we can understand how much we need God, how much we depend on Him. Someone once said, until we are ready to die, we can't possibly be ready to live. That's very true, especially in the spiritual sense. You know, as difficult as it is to think about death, our death in particular, and then others passing, someone we love, and I think that's what Brother Edgar was alluding to in his prayer, that, you know, even though death has its dark side, it's also a blessing from God to Christians. The 116th Psalm, verse 15, says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Think about that. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And of course, we know the 23rd Psalm, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they do comfort me." We are frail. God is not. Brother Edgar. It can help us to focus on those very things. Yeah. That's true. When you think about the 23rd Psalm, which you may hear more often than any other psalm, what if you double the 23rd Psalm? What do you get? The 46. I knew we'd have a mathematician here. I figured it'd be a bean counter, but go to Psalm 46. Let's go there, and let's read that. It's not real long. We can apply it a whole lot like we can apply the 23rd Psalm. It starts off, Psalm 46 and verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter." Excuse me. "He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." there in the very first verse. God is our refuge and our strength. And then there in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. If you remember when we studied in the book of Exodus, in chapter 14, Moses said to the people, fear not and stand firm, or sort of like be still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have but to be silent. Do we understand what it is to be silent in the Lord, to stand still? The Israelites were to be still and know God, just as it says here under the Old Testament economy. And if you go back to Psalm chapter 40 and verse 1, David waited patiently for the Lord. Standing still, being silent. What about Christians today? Same principle. In Peter's second letter in chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, he said, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and works that are done on it will be burned up. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're being patient for. That's why we're to stand still and know God. And you go on there in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verses 14 and 15. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. The idea is, if the Lord is patient with us, we should be patient with him. And we can't be patient with him if we are impatient and trying to stay so busy in our lives. You know, I've experienced this within myself, and I know you have too, that sometimes maybe you're in a crisis situation in your life or in a very stressful time in your life. Maybe you retired from your job that you worked for 40 years and you had a friend that said, well, we need to find you something to do. Have you ever had a friend do that? I always cringe when I hear that. For one thing, you don't need to tell somebody else what they need to do when they retire. But for the other thing, you don't need to busy yourself so that you won't stop and think about how much you need God. And I think that's partly what this is talking about. Be still and know that I am God. Yes, Brother Bobby.
Oftentimes, I will come across something in
Sure. Right, you can't be busy in yourself and get caught up in all the noises of life, so to speak, and think those kind of thoughts. You can't do it. I was thinking the same thing today. I was outside for about 30 minutes this afternoon, and it just so happened before the chainsaw started a little later that it was quiet. All I heard was the birds. And there's a fair amount of woods in behind where we live, and that's all I heard. I heard some birds, and I think I heard a squirrel, and I thought, just like you said, you know, how insignificant. You know, I looked up at the sky was bluer than I've seen it in a while, and just a few white pillowy-type clouds, I guess you would say, and you know, and how could you not think about God? And it was in the stillness. And, you know, I think sometimes we think we've got to keep busy. And we do, you know, we do have a certain amount we have to do, and God wants us to. But we don't need to try to busy ourselves so that we won't think. Because if you stop, if you busy yourself enough that you don't think, then you're not going to think about God. You're not going to think about your dependency on Him. And we can get really impatient, can't we? And we don't want to be still. We don't want to be still, and I don't think we realize it sometimes, but the real reason we don't want to be still is we really see ourselves then, don't we? We really see our relationship with God. What is it? What is our relationship? We really see how frail, as the scripture said, we really see how frail we are then. And that's that is humbling, as Bobby said. But we can then see more clearly when we allow ourselves to be still how much we need God. We can't handle all of life's problems by allowing Satan to distract us with all the noise that's around us. You know, I've always been, a pretty positive person. But right after my accident, I got a little bit negative. Not for real long. But, you know, I thought about at that time, and you've probably heard me illustrate this before, but I thought about the cup half full or the cup half empty. You know, half empty for the pessimist and half full for the optimist. And I convinced myself that I should be the optimist and look at the cup as half full. And I thought, well, you know, I'm all right. But I found a little later on that just wasn't enough. And I'd heard someone say, well, you have to be realistic. And I thought, that's true. You know, this is me now. I have to be realistic about this. And I heard someone say, well, you know, if you're realistic, you don't worry about whether the cup's half full or half empty. You just fill it up. You just fill it back up. So I thought, wow, I'm a realist. I'm no longer just an optimist. I'm a realist. I'm going to fill that cup back up. Well, you know, after a while, that just didn't seem to get it. And I thought about the 23rd Psalm, you know, in that area. And what does it say there? My cup runneth over. Now that is when I really understood. I didn't need to worry about the half anything. it's we're filling it up, right? My cup runneth over, and it does. When we can submit to God, when we can surrender fully, then we can look at it. We can know. We can be still and know God. Yes, Bobby. And if we rely too much on our own strengths, which we all have, certain strengths, but if we rely too much, then that can't happen. And that will affect those around us also that we influence. Right. It is, right. But, you know, I think about James, what James said in chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. It says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such town and we'll spend a year there and we'll trade and we'll make profit. And, you know, James said, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life, as Edgar said in the prayer, it's just a mist or a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes. James said, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. You see, we stand still not because we are the most composed person, not because we handle crisis better than anyone else. We don't stand still because we've seen everything, because we've seen it all. We stand still because we really know what God can and does do in our lives and for our lives. You know, I mentioned at the beginning that Psalms, you know, there's a lot of human emotion and the wisdom of God, teaching us to depend on Him, teaching us how much we need Him. And if we trust Him, we find that there are no difficulties in life that He cannot help us with, that He cannot make easier. We find there are no sins that He can't forgive if we're willing to repent. No bad habits. Now, we all need to listen to that one. There are no bad habits that He cannot help you break. No sadness that He cannot sympathize with. There is no day that is too dark, or that the hope of heaven cannot make shine bright. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 9 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." And one of the ways that God helps us to have hope is through the avenue of prayer. Now, let's look at a prayer in Psalms chapter, Psalm 102. And I would like to read with what time we have left, and we can get into it a little more the next time, but with what time we have left, I would like to read the superscription above. I think probably most of your Bibles have a superscription. I think most of the Psalms do have a superscription overall, and then we'll read the first 11 verses. Now, we don't know how much we can depend on a superscription. That's not Scripture. But they seem to be pretty accurate to me. Non-inspired. It's non-inspired, but it seems to be pretty accurate. This says, "A prayer of one afflicted when he is faint and pours out his complaint before the Lord." And I think that's what we see. Verse 1 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck down like grass and has withered. I forget to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. I am like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I am like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. All the day my enemies taunt me. Those who deride me use my name for a curse. For I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink. Because of your indignation and anger, for you have taken me up and thrown me down. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass." What do you see so far in this prayer that we've seen in the first 11 verses? Bad shape. And you see some suffering because, you know, and the emotion that are talked about. You see great emotion here. But you also see a great desire for God's help. At the very beginning there in verse 1, "Hear my prayer, O God." He's looking for God's help. Now, out of the 150 Psalms, the majority of those are what's called laments. What is a lament? A prayer of sorrow. Just like the superscription said, it's a prayer of one afflicted. Yes, it's a prayer of sorrow. Have you ever been overwhelmed? That's a silly question, isn't it? All of us have been overwhelmed with something. And as we get older, it becomes more and more, doesn't it, that we can become overwhelmed with. I'm sure Sister Jane is overwhelmed. I mean, you know, I can remember losing my parents and other loved ones. And it does overwhelm you, doesn't it? There are many things in life. I look out here right now and I see people that I know that are struggling with leukemia and other cancers and diabetes and all kinds of health issues. Some that you would look at the person and never think they have anything much, but they do. Our sister Jessica Miller, you know, I'm sure she's kind of overwhelmed with two major transplants. We can all become overwhelmed. And that's why we can relate to this, isn't it? And I want you to think about that as we get ready to dismiss. And think about that for the next time, and we'll go more into this 102nd Psalm and this idea of prayer. Speaking of prayer, let's go to God in prayer before we dismiss. Our most righteous Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer. We thank you that through our struggles and trials and all of the many things that we can become overwhelmed with, that we have scripture such as the Psalms that we can go to, and we can see others that have struggled with the same things that we do, that have had the same emotions, that need you and maybe discover for the first time how much they need you. Help us, Father, to be still and know who you are and listen to what you have to say to us through your word. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.